Let me get on here and be a bit vulnerable. I was just now, I was debating whether to record this because I've reached a certain part of my growth where I really, really value privacy. And I try to balance my private life and what I allow everyone else to consume from me. But then I'm reminded a lot of times that the reason I started my blog is for me to be raw and real. It's for me to just express myself exactly how I feel is best without fear. And sometimes that's scary, especially when you're talking to thousands of people whose faces you don't know. So just before I started recording, I was crying. And I haven't cried in a while. I don't think I've cried this year. This is my first time. And I'm not crying because I'm sad or because I'm going through something. Currently, my life is actually pretty amazing. I have everything I need, including good health. And I'm very happy. And everyone around me is happy and healthy. So basically, I could say I'm living in my dreams. But there's an article I've been trying to write for about a year and a half. I mean, it's the one article that has stagnated everything I want to talk about. I think I talk about this all the time because it's something I've felt for years. I'll tell you what it is in a bit. But this specific article, anytime I try to write, I've rewritten it, edited it, deleted, started over. And the last time I tried to write it was last week. It's been a week since. And I just got so overwhelmed, I couldn't keep writing it anymore. And it's making me not, like, I'm unable to write anything else because I feel like I have to get it off my chest before I can move on. So if you follow the Love and Orgasms blog, I have this series which I call The Diary of a Cheating Wife. And on this articles, I know it's this blog started a long time ago before I was the person I am now. But this series is about how I would talk about how it's basically me telling on myself the times I've cheated, air quotes. I put it in air quotes because I'll explain. It's when I was seeing someone and then that person started treating me like shit, and naturally I just leave the relationship and start seeing someone else. So that's what I would call cheating. I wouldn't break up. I would, you know, that time you've told someone a million times, stop hurting me, stop cheating on me, stop lying to me, stop, and they don't want to change. So I just stop telling them and I just usually leave the relationship and I start dating someone else. And the more I grew up, I started realizing that sleeping with other people wasn't really helping me get over the pain that I had felt in the relationship I was in before. And that's, I think, when it started hitting me that this casual sex thing, maybe it isn't for me. Because I would be like, okay, yeah, I've gone and I've seen someone else. See, he thought I wouldn't leave him, I've left. And I would go and I would shag someone else. But then I'd be forced to sit with myself and just ask myself, like, sani machochali mungine anione, aniguze, anidishi. How do I really feel about it? Like, am I happy with my decisions? Was the revenge worth it? I used to call it revenge. And in some of these articles, I'd even gloat about, like, what I did. And the funny thing is, anytime I would write in this series, sinimeachana na umse, so si ati tume break up. Namchorea tu na mimi naenda naandika hiyo article na na publish. Na hiyo na hizo articles, they would make rounds. I'd get a couple hundreds of thousands of views. And of course, my boyfriend / ex-boyfriend would read. And they would realize that I had also started cheating on them. To me, that felt like a gotcha moment. Like, yeah, I got you back. Like, I got you back for what you did to me. But then I started realizing these niggas don't care. Like, they don't care whether you go give yourself to the next homie. Like, they don't care. So there's no revenge, really. It's just me hurting myself by giving myself to other people who still don't care as much about me. And so I decided I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be sleeping with other people to get off, to get over the last person. I'm just going to do it the hard way, like do the work the hard way and heal and get over it and forgive and move on and do better. It's not easy, but I managed to do it. And now that's what I do. Like, when someone hurts my feelings in a situation, in a relationship, I just leave them. I leave them and I go and I heal. I gain another hobby. Like, right now I'm into so many things. I'm doing horse riding, I'm doing swimming, I'm working out, I'm back into doing a lot of art. I'm currently running my own business and I'm living my life. I have time for friends, I have time for family. Like, I'm really fulfilled in my life right now. I have everything I need. I'm doing everything I've ever wanted to be, and I'm basically my dream woman. I'm everything I've ever wanted to be. So that's how I ended up here. I became someone who achieves all my goals because of that one simple decision. But I want to talk about the dark side, like the dirty side of things, because it looks so easy. It looks so easy when you show up hot, looking spick and span, looking very learned and eloquent and clean, like you've got your shit together and you know what happens. But that's because that's the only side of things that you show. Nobody ever goes on social media to show, like, when they were crying because they were heartbroken. I mean, people do it, but not as often as they show how when they bought a new car, they got a new apartment, they're in a nice relationship, they received flowers, blah, blah, blah. And I realize I'm very notorious for that. But it's very intentional. So that's why maybe I've struggled with deciding if I want to record this episode right now. So back to what I was talking about, the diary of a cheating wife. So this article, I'm probably going to put it out tomorrow or this week, because now I have to follow through and just finish editing it and just say what I was really thinking, what I've really been thinking and what I've been deleting and rewriting for almost 2 years now. But something that has triggered this is my crying and all these thoughts, and for me to share whatever I want to share on this episode is this question that I get asked on interviews about myself. People ask me a lot, not even just interviews, like people ask me a lot, what is it like? What is your dating life like? I think I'm asked this in regards to being Roberta Bobby, the sex writer, the girl who writes about sex. So people always want to get an insight of, like, how do I make my relationships work? How does my dating life work? How does my sex life work with the kind of work that I do? Because I'm always writing about my sex life and I'm always sharing about the things I do in bed or with my lovers and things like that. So people want, I'm guessing they want to ask me because they want to kind of understand, like, what happens or how do I date? And I want to say it's not easy. It's not as nice as it looks. It's not as amazing and as rosy and as nice as it looks. So ever since I made the decision to stop having casual sex, this is not a decision I made a long time ago. So I've fallen short a couple of times, of course. Sometimes, you know, you'll meet someone you like, you start talking to them, they tell you all these things, they make promises, you fall for it, and then once you have sex, that shit happens to me. It's happened to me. And it's not because I'm not smart or because I don't vet people or because, like, I'm not careful. People are just people. People will always do what they want to do. And sometimes you can't tell people's intentions. People will come into your life. And I think what dating for me looks like is, I think people also ask me, do you date fans of the blog? And yes, I do. I do. I date, because most times when people, by the time they're reaching out to me, they've reached out to me because they've seen an article I wrote or they've seen me somewhere on on something. So they reach out to me, you know, with the guise of, hey, I'm trying to learn more about what you do, I'd like to listen, blah blah blah. Kiasi, to make exchange numbers. Kiasi, we're going out on dates, they're doing things right. Kiasi, tunaanza kulaikiana. They actually become my friends, because I don't sleep with people before I consider them a friend. Like, we have to work on a friendship. So it doesn't matter. They'll take 2 years to know me, 1 year, 3 years. They'll wait. They will really wait. And they will do all the right things. And then we'll smash. And then some of them will do what they normally do. The distance thing, the I'm busy. Naitanga kukwa kiziwi. Wanakwanga deaf, blind, and dumb. All of a sudden, I didn't see your calls. I didn't hear my phone ringing. I'm sorry, I had work. I was so busy. But before they smash, they have all the time in the world. And when you're stuck in such a cycle, it's so easy to start thinking, what's wrong with me? Is it me that's the problem? Like, what's wrong with me? What is it? What's my issue? Until I open up about it, and then I realize so many people are going through the same thing. So many people are feeling the same way. It's just that some have accepted, some have forced themselves to be like, eh, even though inakuanga, even though casual sex inafakukua, mkidinyana simedinyana na nivo. But then, to me, it's just like, if you were my friend before the sex, like, why can't you just follow through and just be my friend? Why can't you? It's okay, we don't have to date. I'm not trying to marry you, but that switch up over there really fucks up with your psyche and your emotional health. So to answer the question for what is it like to date for me, it's difficult because now I've become very, very strict. Like, I've been working so hard on my standards and my boundaries, because now after I realized, you know, you have a standard. First, you'll set a standard like, let's say, for example, I'm not dating broke niggas. Then those broke niggas will stop approaching you. Now you start being approached by the rich men. Then you realize, oh, it's not enough. Now they have to have a personality. Then now you get the rich one with a personality. Then you see, oh, it's not enough. He has to be kind, thoughtful, super sweet, consistent. Then you get one that has that. And then even him, after smashing, all of a sudden, he doesn't know how to communicate. He can't remember how to call you. He can't. Blah, blah, blah. He doesn't know how to be your friend all of a sudden. And you just have to keep adjusting. So I've been adjusting and keep setting my boundaries high, to the point that I feel this lover that I'm looking for does not exist. Because why is it? It's like I'm holding people to a standard that is very, very impossible. And what's crazy is that these people meet this standard before. When before the sex, they meet it, they match. And it doesn't, I'm telling you guys, it doesn't matter how long you make someone wait. If they want to switch up the second day, they will switch up immediately. They're done. Immediately they're done with you that day. Ata before utoke kwa nyumba yake, ama pali mtakwa, it's over. So if you don't have high self-esteem and if you don't love yourself enough, you start to ask yourself questions. These are, kwani I'm not enough? Kwani, what's wrong with me? And it took me such a long time to be able to realize that it's not me. It doesn't have to be anything to do with me, because even when I'm sad, even when I'm broken, even when I'm beaten, the people who matter to me, when I need to communicate to them, I always communicate to them. I've taught myself to communicate. It doesn't matter how angry I am, how sad and how... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm going through in the moment, whether it's grief, whether someone I love is unwell, whether I just lost my job. If something matters to me, I make time. And it's something I had to teach myself, especially as someone who was very anxiously and very avoidantly attached. So it's just a matter of how bad do you want it? Like, how bad do you want something? And in as much as I realize that human beings can be binary and non-binary, especially for me, the kind of person I am is, I'm not someone who sits on the fence. I'm not someone I'm not sure. If I want something, I always go for it. And if I don't want it, then you'll not see me trying. You'll not see me pretending to try. If I don't want it, I don't want it. But I'm starting to understand and accept that there's people who will want something, but they won't do anything about it. Or they won't want something and they'll also just pretend that they like it. These types of people fuck with my mind because I just don't get it. I don't want to be in that mind frame ever, for where I'm unable to make decisions. And I wouldn't want to be with someone like tuseme na kachana na mse alafu namlike, lakini seem like enough kumdate. Why would I do that? Like, why would I talk to them? Why would I like them? Why would I do all these nice things for them and tell them that I want them, but then I'm not sure about going the whole mile? It just beats the purpose. Like, I could have left them alone without trying to hurt their feelings. I could have left them without making them cry, without hurting them. But I'm learning there's people like that on earth who just exist, and that's just how they are, and there's nothing we can do about it unless they want to do something about it themselves. I normally attract gentlemen, people who treat me really, really well, people who are amazing to me, they're kind, and they will play this game for as long as they need to. Why? Because I'm very, very strict. Very strict. Like, there's things I will not do with a man unless he has proven himself to be, when I'm ticking my standards and boundaries list. And it's making me sad because that shit doesn't work. It works in that it keeps me away from low value experiences and low vibrational experiences. But it's like, it's not foolproof. It doesn't matter what you do or how you act. If someone wants to switch up on you and just do their thing, they're still going to do it. It doesn't matter. And the lesson I'm learning essentially is, it's like I'm just supposed to be myself. I'm supposed to be myself throughout, when people take advantage of me, when people lie to me, when people try to waste my time, when people want to touch my body without being honest about, like, with all those things. So the thing that made me cry today before I started recording this was, I feel like I've ended up in a space where having such high standards might be locking me out of experiences that will still be beneficial to me. And not necessarily like low vibrational experiences. I just mean lots of different experiences by default. And it's reached a point where I'm not able to tell whether I'm self-sabotaging or I'm just being careful enough not to get hurt anymore. Because I've worked so hard on my emotional regulation, and I've tried so hard to become a person who has a very secure attachment style, meaning I'm okay with people being themselves and doing what they want, and then I will decide for myself if I'm able to settle for that. Like, I'll just look at you, I'll let you do your thing, and then I'll decide, is that something I want in my life? If it's not easy, if I can handle it, then cool, we can continue. But then I'm also wondering, do I show people grace? Like, am I patient enough? Am I understanding? Like, if someone doesn't text me the whole day, my first instinct is, like, normally I'm busy, I'm doing so many things throughout the day, so maybe I won't even notice you haven't texted me throughout the day. But then if we're trying to have a relationship and we're trying to work on it, I would like for there to be some sort of stability and consistency, right? And I don't mind communicating, yo, I like for my lover to text me at least to hear from you, to talk to you on at least every day, you know. And then this person starts making it look like I'm asking for too much. You see, my instinct there would be like, yeah, okay, fine, cool, then I won't bother you, and I leave them alone. Because I do not know how to sit on the fence. I do not know how to be like, oh, you like me, but you don't want to talk to me? It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, oh, you either like me and you want to talk to me, or you don't like me and you don't want to talk to me. But then I'm supposed to understand that there's people who can like you and they just don't talk to you. And you shouldn't take it personally, it's okay. Because they're probably just living their life. They're just busy for real. And if you fuck it up by being annoyed, then you're self-sabotaging. Because what if it's something good that's happening for you? And now it has me asking myself questions like, am I asking for too much? Is it too much? Am I becoming anxious because this person is not treating me exactly the way I want to be treated? And so should I just leave them alone? Should I just walk away from the relationship? Because I get that relationship PTSD where this person is lying to me. They're lying, they're lying, they're lying. Then again, I'm brought back to, am I fucking it up? Am I messing up? What if he's not lying? What if he's just busy and he'll communicate when he's back? Blah, blah, blah. But then again, I'm asking myself, how can you go the whole fucking day without talking to me? Why would you want me to be not okay, seated somewhere thinking, why isn't he talking to me? Have I done something wrong? What is wrong? What is wrong? Why would someone do that to me? Like, why not just meet me halfway and understand that I like stable communication, so then communicate with me? So I guess I was crying because I thought I figured out this relationships thing, but then there's no formula. There's really no formula. Someone just has to like you. That's the point. Someone has to like you enough to just give a fuck about wanting to meet you halfway. And it doesn't matter what promises they make or what they say. It doesn't matter what they're doing. The best thing is to just watch their actions. Just watch for what they're doing instead of listening to what they're saying. Because they could tell you a bunch of so many things, but then they're not acting it. Then it means nothing. And if you're not careful, if you don't have a very, very strong backbone, then you start asking yourself those questions for, Kwani, I'm not enough. Kwani, what's wrong with me? So that's what dating for me looks like. It's just me being so, so scared that my standards are so high that I might not get to experience the things that I should. Or me lowering my standards just a bit and then kinirambe because I've settled for something that is not for me. I'm in that limbo. I'm in that limbo where I'm consistently scared. Is he just trying to fuck me? Is he just trying to talk to me so that he can smash and say he smashed me? And this is not just for me. This is how so many women feel. This is how so many women feel. Because you really can't control. And for someone like me who takes sex very seriously, for some people, I get it. Sex is not that a big deal. But for me, it's such a big deal just to let for someone touch my body. To let someone touch me. To let someone look at me. To let someone see me naked. So when someone violates me like that by like lying to me, and you know, we never talk enough about the effects of betrayal on the brain, like the anxiety, the way your heart drops to the bottom of your stomach when you find out you've been lied to, the way you start becoming obsessive, maybe you start going, checking his page, looking at all the women he's following, wanting to text him, all those, like nobody talks about all those things that happen in your brain chemically and emotionally, how in your heart you feel a hole, like a hole is forming, how you start to shake from the anger, the pain, we play it out like it's just easy, like it's just, sinisawa, sijali, ndaenda tu nidinye mtu mwingine. You know? And I want to admit that it hurts. It hurts every time I had to write an article about sleeping with someone else because the man I was with was denying me affection and attention and even intimacy. I thought I ate with that, but it's not easy. It's not easy to pretend to be okay using sex to get over someone that hurt me. So this is probably the last article of that series that I'll be writing because I will not be doing anything like that anymore. It's good for gist and udaku, but it's not good for how my heart feels afterwards. So when you read this article, please don't read it with the heart of this is exactly what I should do to get back at him. But read it from a place of learning from my mistakes. The pain I put myself through emotionally, because now I have to take accountability and realize I did that to myself. First of all, by staying with people who were hurting me intentionally. And by thinking that sex was a tool to get over something. But it's just like a drug. Like, you use it, but then afterwards, you when you're doing introspection, you realize this was me stooping low. This was me matching someone's energy that was below me. And it'll never make me feel better. So I hope you learn from my mistakes as usual. And now that I've opened up, I think I just needed to open up and talk about it. Now that I've opened up, I'm going to get back to editing the article, and I hope it gets to you guys by tomorrow. So, toodles, bye.